This is where business ideas and passions turn into profit. Whether you're dreaming of becoming your own boss, but don't know how to get started, or have already started a side hustle and wish to grow it exponentially, your host, Victoria Wick, can help you turn your passion-based business ideas into profit. Welcome to Million Dollar Passion. Here is your host, world-renowned jewelry designer and home shopping TV celebrity, Victoria Wick.
Welcome to another episode of the Million Dollar Passion podcast. I'm just so excited to be here every week to bring you some amazing conversations with guests that are just fabulous, that address our needs, our concerns, and actually more than anything, our hope for the future. Talking about hope for the future, one topic I hear from you, from my workshops and from my speeches over and over and over again, more than ever now after COVID, is the idea of creating a sustainable passive income stream. So even if it's not huge, something that you can work toward. And I finally found a guest who actually knows how to do that, who has done that many times over and also helped other people achieve their financial freedom by starting a small passive income strategy. So without further ado, I want to introduce you to the guest today. His name is Edwin Carrion. Welcome to the show, Edwin.
Victoria, thank you for having me on the show and everybody listening. Thank you for listening to me.
Yeah.
It's going to be a great show and you're going to get a lot of golden nuggets.
Yeah, exactly. So first of all, if you haven't subscribed to the show already, please do so. And also share, please share my show with at least one other human being so that we can amplify and elevate the expertise from every one of our guests who have put their heart and soul into what they do, especially with Edwin. I mean, he's an immigrant to this country. I myself am an immigrant, and immigrant life isn't easy, especially if you come here with no money. So having done what he has done, he started his first company at age 14 and served in the Marine Corps, which anything about Marine Corps, they're very disciplined people. And honorable, honest, all those things actually come into play, believe it or not. These are the tools that I've used to build my business. And these principles go a long way. So Edwin, tell me a little bit about yourself and what you're passionate about.
Okay, thank you again. So myself, I am a loyal husband, a God-made millionaire, a United States Marine, a loving father of two beautiful girls. And you know, that's my dream and my God-given dream as well. An investor and a mentor. I love teaching people and sharing my story, sharing my life to success in order to become other people make successful and to live life to the fullest. So that's who Edwin Carrion is.
So you're preaching to the choir, because I think that those of us who have achieved, my American dream was really simple, very small, simple. I just wanted to be able to pay for my own apartment that I could rent and be able to find money to pay for my insurance on a car that I already owned. At that time, it was like a $2,000. The whole car was like $2,000. But for those of us who do it, have found a systematic way to sort of achieve your next measurable goal, you can't wait to share it, share the joy and share your knowledge and share the journey with somebody else who's struggling. Am I saying that accurately?
Oh, yes, extremely correct. And the thing is, it's good to share it, but it's amazing when people take action on the things you share, how you get to success. Because there's been so many times where, you know, I share the stories of people ask me, so how do you do this? Or how do you become successful? And I teach them step by step, but then they don't do anything for it.
Right. And we're going to talk about that a little bit. We're going to talk about the part about the action, because I think that's why this particular podcast exists. When I'm interviewed on other podcasts, or I've been on numerous TV shows and everything, when people tell you like your story is so inspiring, it's encouraging, and they walk away with this incredible aspirations and inspirations with them. Well, if you don't take any action, it dies. It is an inspiration. That's it. It doesn't transform your life. It doesn't transform my life, because the whole reason why I'm giving free speeches so that it transforms their life so I can get some joy back, and it doesn't. And if you're listening to the show week after week, you know, I talk about action all the time. It doesn't have to be huge action. I'm not asking anybody to go to the bank, withdraw money, invest, you know, something new. We're talking small steps. Like, think about the one tiny little thing you can do yourself today, not tomorrow, not next week, not next year, not when you find some time. It's important, and you got to take that action today. And it could be a small little thing. It could be like setting aside an hour a day to research what you want to do. Or it could be, in my case, learning to speak English when I first came to America. That was a goal. And even learning to speak English, I broke it down to like, okay, I don't have money. We didn't have ESL classes, English as second language classes when I came. So my father had a dictionary because he didn't speak English either. I just looked at the words, like every word that was under five letters, my dad would like actually circle it. And I like learned English to English translation. But that was the only thing a 13-year-old could do. So you do it, right? So every day there's something you could do to impact your life for the future. But enough about that. So let's get down to the meat of this whole interview. So Edwin, you're very passionate about creating passive income. And I love that. If you don't understand the importance of passive income, it's income that comes to you, whether you're sleeping, whether you're on the beach, whether you're having a good day or a bad hair day, it doesn't matter. That income comes in whether you're working or not. And it could be small, but the problem is there's this perception that in order for you to create a passive income strategy, like passive income of any kind, that you have to start with a ton of money. You can take an example of like, you could put millions of dollars in the bank, the interest that comes in, that's passive income. Okay.
Yes.
Right now, interest is very low and most people don't have enough money saved to make that interest actually a real income. If you don't have a whole lot of money, what are some of the things that you know how to do? Because I know that you didn't start with $10 million. So how did you do it?
Well, the first thing is, again, taking that action. And it goes back to what you were saying a minute ago is, you don't have to have $1 million in the bank account. You don't have to have that $1 million to start creating passive income. You could start with $100. And passive income, it's free money, or money that you don't have to work for. The money works for you. So as we work very hard for our money, it comes to a time that we have to let the money work for us. And it starts at any age. It doesn't matter whether you're 18 years old or you're 50 years old. It's never too late to start. So the first thing to do is open an investment account and start putting $10 a week, $10 a month, whatever you could afford to lose, whatever is not going to hurt you that you're putting aside. And eventually you're going to see those small little returns. And when you start seeing those small returns, then you kind of get hooked to it because now you're training your mind to start putting money away and to start having your money work for you. And eventually you'll see that money grow. You're like, wow, I'm making $100 a month without having to do nothing. This is good. So when you train your mind and your mindset changes to passive income, then you start looking for other opportunities. And then you start looking, okay, where can I put my money? I have $20,000 in the bank. Where can I put this money that somebody else is going to work for me and is going to give me passive income? And then you start investing. And there's a lot of different forms of investment. There's syndication deals in real estate. There's new ventures. Somebody, a good friend of yours could be opening a brand new business and tells you, hey, why don't you let me borrow some money? I'll pay you high interest, more than where you're going to get of having that money sitting at the bank. If you know he's reliable, if you know you have collateral, if you know that money's secure, and you're going to get a good return of interest, that's called passive income. So that's how you start. Start very little.
It's really interesting what you said. So my mother-in-law passed away. She was 100 years old. She passed away last year. And she lived a really good life. And she, the quality of her life until the very last month or so of her life was very, very high. But I want to tell you, she lost her husband at age 53, I think. She never remarried or anything like that. But when she lost her husband at 53, the family was pretty much bankrupt because in those days, insurance didn't cover a lot of things and it kind of sucked up everything. And she was a housewife. She had never even learned to drive. Very traditional marriage, like 78 years ago. So she had to learn how to catch the bus and educated herself, went through a school several years, became a school teacher at age 58 or so. And it's interesting, she passed away and I had no clue. Like, she was a good saver and she put her money away. Like you said, it's $100, $50. She put it all away. Never wasted money, like on Starbucks, like a juice and things like that.
Right.
So she saved all this money. When she passed away, her accountant informed us of her estate. It's like absolutely mind-boggling. It was over $1 million that the woman saved on a teacher's income.
Yes.
And it's the power of how much the compound interest actually paid in her case.
Uh-huh.
And we still have like CDs that are coming due now, long after she's been gone. So you start saving. That's the first step. And the second step is you're going to start to invest little bits of money in places that you know who they are, like you're going to check out the investment opportunities. I think the mistakes a lot of people make is once they have a little money, they want to make that money quickly. So they don't vet the investment. They're going to invest money in things that you don't know much about.
Right. They gamble. That's what happens. Yeah. It becomes a gambling game. And yes, you could gamble too, because there's sometimes that I gamble. What I mean gamble is like the Bitcoin craze was going on. When everybody's on it, you know, that's the time that I gamble because I know that I'm going to make a quick return, return on my investment. I'm either going to lose it all or I'm going to make it all. So that's when I jump in it. But it's with money that I could afford to lose. But then I have the other money, which is long-term. And I'm always thinking long-term. When I talk about long-term, is it, like you said, your grandmother, is a 10 to 20-year plan. And the compound interest, it's amazing because it starts growing so much little by little.
It does. I mean, in our case, it was literally like $10 a week or something. So that is really crazy. So let's go to another topic I know that you're very passionate about. And you and I actually share this a lot is, I don't know about your story specifically, but I know for mine, the idea that I wasn't willing to give up my family life. I wasn't willing to give up the quality of life that I'm giving to my children, to my parents, that when you're an entrepreneur working by yourself with no outside money and you're having to kind of juggle like 40 different things, that somehow success comes at the price of family life. And I hear tell people every week, 52 weeks a year, that that's not true. It doesn't have to be true unless you make it true.
That's right.
Right? So tell me a little bit about how you've done that. People have heard until they're blue in the face how I did it. But what were some of the strategies you employed to make sure that your family didn't suffer because you were chasing the dream?
Okay. So I was fortunate enough that I went bankrupt at 27 years old. Mm-hmm. And I realized that I worked so much that I put everything away, everything that mattered to me, my religion, my faith, my family, my friends, my health, which is one of the most important things. And then to top it all, I put aside my time, because once we lose time, I went from 22 years old to 27 years old, working all the time. That's time that I was lost, that I was never able to get back, because that's the only commodity in life we can never get back.
Right.
So I learned that I need to have a balance in life, and I need to live life to the fullest. I need to enjoy every single day, because we only have one day, and when the day is gone, it's gone. We cannot get that time back. So how do I balance my life? I'm running multiple different companies. What I do is I set priorities, and my priorities are just very, very simple. 9 to 5 is my free time. I get to work. I get to have fun. I get to do the things that I want to do from 9 to 5. That's my set time. That's my priority. After 5 p.m., family time. Every Friday on the calendar is like a religion, date night. Sundays, we go to church as a family, and then Saturday, Sunday, spend time with the family. So once you start setting those priorities straight, because as business owners, we think, oh no, we have to work 12 hours, 13 hours a day. And we really don't. You know, sometimes I come to the office and in 2 hours, I'm so productive, so effective that I could take the rest of the day off and do the things that I love to do. And there's times that I sit down in my office the whole 8 hours and I don't do anything. I just sit here and I'm like twiddling my thumbs, trying to be productive. But those are the days that I don't want to do anything. So if you set your priorities straight, I think that's when you start having that balance in life, making sure that you put the same priority and the same standards for your family, for your work, for yourself, because you have to be happy. You know, when I'm happy, I make everybody else happy. I make my family, my wife, my kids, my employees, everybody happy. So being selfish, I always tell people, be selfish. Make yourself happy first. And once you're happy, you make everybody else happy.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that. Setting priorities is really, really important. And I think that if you set your priorities, and when I say set priorities, is like, what are the most important things to you? That also includes some boundaries of things that you're absolutely not willing to do, right? So for example, like when I started my company, I didn't have to make a whole lot of money. I just wanted to make $2,000 a month. But what I wasn't willing to do is work more than 20 hours a week, because I was a full-time mom. I drove the kids to school. I organized all the triathlons, all the soccer games and everything else. I was the mom who did all that. So I kind of wanted to have a meaningful income, decent income, but I also had the hours that I couldn't work. And it turns out when you set those priorities really straight, you become much more productive, because you don't have a whole lot of time. If you're, say, okay, you know what? I'm not working weekends. I'm not working evenings. I'm not working, you know, crack of dawn. you find ways to be very efficient. You cut out things. You cut out the trips to the start. You cut out the chit-chats with whoever you end up with. To me, in my mind, you end up with better quality friends because only those friends that actually really matter to you, you're going to connect with. You know what I mean? You're going to give up your time. At that point, you're either giving up time at work or time with the family. So that friend has to be
available.
You gotta step up. Yeah. So you end up with better quality customers because a lot of borderline customers, I just wouldn't take them. I wouldn't call on them. I wouldn't take them. You know, if they don't pay me on time, if they are very needy, they're calling me at all hours of the day or night. And I'm like, okay, this customer isn't worth it. Because then I look at my margin and I'm thinking to myself, I'm literally not making any money. And they just happen to be the most needy and most demanding. And they don't respect my employees or my time. I'm going to be looking for that. You don't just get rid of them right away, but you try to get a better quality customer to replace the one that is causing 90% of your agony for 10% of the volume.
So and you learn that it's quality over quantity.
Right, exactly. So what Edwin and I are saying is that there are some entrepreneurs who will go and chase after every deal, every customer at all hours of the day. And if you do that, what happens is you are going to pay a price. And that price could be your own health. It could be the quality of the relationship you have with the people that are closest to you. It could be you're just unhappy, even though you're making money. And then you start resenting yourself like, oh my God, I'm doing everything for everybody else, like my customers, my employees, my community, my family, and I don't have any time. And you end up justifying all the not going to church, not doing this. There's a lot of stuff that happens. So I think that having clarity, setting your priorities. And the other thing, don't you think, Edwin, like a lot of people set priorities, they understand it. Like maybe right now, if you're listening, you're like, you know what? These people are making complete sense. But when it comes to actually doing it, when it comes to actually really implementing your priorities, there seems to be a disconnect between what you know is right for you and what you actually are willing to do. Like you're like, you know. So I love that. Now, let me ask you another question. So when it comes to starting businesses, okay, so there are 4 million people quitting their jobs every month. A lot of them have started their own businesses. How do I know that? It's because the Census Bureau, there's been more, like something like 700,000 patent applications by American people at the USPTA office. You can actually look at this. And there's been more applications for business licenses since 2020 to 2021 ever in our history. So people are starting, and those are the people that we know about. A lot of people actually start a side hustle without even asking for a business license. Mm-hmm. So what are some of the most common mistakes that you see that people are making at the startup phase of their business?
I think the biggest mistake that they make is that they do not follow the business process. And what I mean by not following the business process is like you were talking at the beginning when you started your business, you knew what you wanted. You had clarity. You said, I wanted to make $2,000 a month. And that's all I want. And so you had your clarity, right? You had your business, you had your address for your business. So a lot of people, you know, they go, it's like, oh, you know what? I want to get into business and I want to do this. And they just jump right in without really having a solid plan, having an idea of what is it that they want. And 90% of the young entrepreneurs, 90% of people that get into business, they fail because they don't have a business plan. They don't create a business plan. And I think having a business plan in business and in life, to me, having a vision board in life, is my business plan. It's just like in business, every time that I start something from scratch, here's your business plan. This is who we are. That's what our values are. And again, it goes back to what you're saying. Your values were, I'm not going to work more than 20 hours a week. That's a value. I don't want needy clients. You knew what you want. You had clarity. So creating a business plan is important. But besides a business plan, is the second thing that I always teach people is that you need to have a business plan and then you need to have a cash flow sheet. Because the cash flow sheet, you're going to work backwards. You're going to go from a macro to a micro environment, meaning that if you want to make $120,000 a year, it's going to tell you how much money you need to make per month. And it's going to tell you how much money you need to make per day. And it's going to tell you how many clients you need to have per day. So 90% of the people don't do that. And it's so simple. And that's why they tend to fail or they stay being an employee for their business for the rest of their life.
It's interesting, Edwin. That's exactly true. It's like if you have a vague goal, like I'm going to start my business, I'm going to spend more time with my family, and I'm going to make a lot of money. Okay. These are all vague words. What's a lot of money? I mean, is it $100? Is it $100 million? I mean, what's a lot of money? if you say, I'm going to spend a lot of time with my family, what's a lot of time?
If you're very specific, relative in life,
right?
Relative in life.
Right. So if you can sit there and say, for me, I was making more money as an employee, but I said to myself, if I can make $2,000, my rent was like $1,000 at the time. I had a 2-bedroom apartment. If I can make my rent and I can pay my whatever, I needed $2,000, you know, my home run set, I could have survived on like a $1,500 a month, but I think my home run scenario is $2,000 a month. So yeah. How am I going to make the $2,000 a month? And if I wanted to make $2,000 a month, what do I have to do to make the $2,000? Because I design jewelry. So I thought to myself, okay, well, if I sent 50 letters out every day to all of the major department stores around the world, and I got like 10% of those people back, and the average sale was, let's say, like $10,000. And I thought, is it possible? What if my return rate is only like 2%? Can I make that number? And the answer was yes. It wasn't like a huge goal.
Yeah, and that was your cash flow sheet. And you had your cash flow sheet.
And the other thing too is, if I'm writing 50 letters a day, because they're mostly form letters, I thought to myself, that's more than plenty. If you look at right now, today, if you were to start a business with 20 hours a week, and you were spending, let's say, 3 hours, if you say, well, I'm on a social media, you know, 3 hours a week is a lot of time for social media. Trust me. And I could do it in 30 minutes to create a post and post it like 3 times a week. And even that, you should have a plan. Like Monday should be like, I do Motivation Mondays and I do like some kind of quote. And then Wednesdays, I show people how to use the product, and Fridays like a fun Friday. So you can do that. You could actually have it all done in 3 hours. That's eternity. And if you're writing emails to solicit, you want to do 5 hours, that's eternity. It's a lot of time. Yes. If you're actually sitting there doing that all day, it's a lot of time. And if you're doing 1 hour to 2 hours a day in follow-up, that includes phone calls or follow-up emails, again, it's plenty of time for you, because nobody's going to talk to you for an hour. It's going to be like a 5-minute conversation with anybody. So if you think about how you can run a business in 20 hours, that's plenty of time. If you got 25 hours, it's more than enough, because when you're in a corporate world, you're going through the rah-rah sessions, useless meetings. You're being called by your boss or some department, like department you didn't even know that existed somehow. They needed your opinion. You're going through all this crazy stuff that you're not even doing. So breaking it down to bite-sized information that you can act on. So cash flow plan. We're not asking you to go out and hire an MBA to come up with it. We're just asking, this is like just common sense type thing.
Nice. And look, nowadays, like when you and I started this, tell your audience if it's true or not. When you and I started doing this 20 years ago, we didn't have all these resources that all these people have nowadays. They have so many resources. I mean, life is so much simpler today. You go to YouTube, you join a group, you go to Facebook, Instagram, you find all these resources. We didn't have that when we started.
True. I mean, when I started,
it was so much harder for us.
Yeah, when I started back in 89, we didn't even have internet. I had to actually type it on an electric typewriter.
Right?
And people are telling me, oh yeah, it was a different time back then. Yeah, right. Different time back then.
It was a harder
time. Today, a small company could have the same resources for focus groups, testing your stuff, or getting opinions as any other big company. And the whole culture today, you know, in the old days, people naturally gravitated to the known quantity, going to the biggest company, biggest names. Today, Americans really love the underdogs who try hard, who are not perfect, but who try hard to help you. So I feel like today you do have everything in your hands.
Right. And also with social media, with all this connection that we have worldwide, like audience just got bigger. Like, so our customer base just got bigger before we were restricted to that area. You know, growing up, I was restricted to only working area. Nowadays, it's so amazing. You could be worldwide with no problem.
Any hour of the day, too. Any hour.
Yes.
Let me ask you, Edwin, if you were to give young Edwin today, somebody who's 22 years old starting out, what would be that one advice be?
Yeah, I love that question. Every time I get interviewed, I get asked that question. And it's an amazing question, because I will say, keep doing everything that you have done. I will not change one thing in my life, because if I will change one thing in my life, I don't know how my life will be today. And I love this life. I love what I have. I love where I am. I love what I have been through. And everybody should be the same, because we should not keep living as the victim mentality. We should become the victor and say, you know what? Those struggles is what made me who I am today.
Exactly.
And as long as you choose to improve, because everybody changes in life, but not everyone improves. So we have to continue improving in life. And that's what makes us better every time.
Well said. So for more information about Edwin and the amazing life that he has lived and is living because of some of the mistakes and misfortunes and the incredible struggles that he has gone through, going broke at age 27. As you heard him say, that was a blessing because you don't want to go broke at age 60. Trust me. You know, that's pretty hard. You don't get a do-over at age 60. I mean, you do and you don't. At age 27, your whole life is still ahead of you. So I guess the moral of the story is believe in yourself, live the life you want to live from day one, not when you make it someday. I mean, yes. I think the journey is really important. And set your priorities straight, set what they are, and then stick to it no matter what, because you're either going to succeed right there and then, or you're going to have a detour of some sort, bankruptcy or setback, and you're going to be richer because you chose to use that experience to enrich your life for the future. And when you enrich your life, as Edwin said, you not only enrich your life, but even if you're not doing it consciously, you are enriching everybody else's life because every business has suppliers, vendors, manufacturers, somebody who's going to benefit from the one business that succeeds. So yes, just keep that in mind. And again, check out his website, Edwin Carrion, carrion.com. And his social media, Facebook and Instagram is at Edwin Carrion 78, Instagram and Facebook. And until next time, please stay healthy and happy. And remember, happiness is your choice. And I hope you guys make great choices this coming week. And thank you so much for coming by, Edwin. I enjoyed this interview.
Thank you. And thank you to everybody for listening. And remember, if you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there. So have a plan.
You've been listening to Million Dollar Passion, where we turn dreams into reality and passion into profit. According to ancient Chinese proverb, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. Congratulations on taking that first step today. For more information on how Victoria can help you turn your business idea into $1 million and to download Victoria's free ebook on passion-based business ideas, visit milliondollarpassion.com. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review the show on your favorite podcast player.